pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public hearing. Title Land Management and Development Code, the city is proposing various amendments for the Land Management and Development Code to address various priority corrections issues and ensure consistency and compliance with current state requirements regarding land use, review approval and process, and subdivision and planning requirements. So we have a brief summary of the presentation, the proposed amendments, and what is that?
The agenda's the other one. That's the public notice for the hearing. The agenda's on the other side.
Oh.
No, next to you.
This one?
Bang.
It's the same.
Does that say public hearing or does that say agenda?
Okay, Mr. Hanson, you want to tell us what's going on in the plant?
You bet. This is the most exciting thing you guys will do all night, I'm sure. I have copies to walk everybody through, but I only brought six of them. Does anybody need one or want one? You probably need one. Two of them. Anybody else want these? They are hot commodities, I'm just telling you what.
We'll take one for you if there's not here.
Sure. I'm gonna put the rest right here, but anyway, yeah, Mike Hanson. I'm with the Hanson Planning Group. The state has passed a law back in 2020 last year that said all the cities need to update their process on how they're going to subdivide land, but 1,000 qualifiers in there. And they put out some guidelines. And that law was written so well that they passed another law this year, earlier this year, that fixed it. Because, you know, legislature. Anyway, so we've been, and we're paid for by the state. So we've been looking at the code and trying to make updates to it. The draft that's in front of you is, we think, probably one of the better ones. Mostly my favorite part, it's only 20-something pages. Go team. I was up in Howell last night, and there's this 40-something pages, and they slipped out and said, can't you say that shorter? I'm trying. At the end of the day, what the state's goal is for, if a developer came into town and wanted to carve up, say, a city block and put in 12 houses, I just made all that up, but if they wanted to do that, they would have to follow the new process that the state has outlined for cities. Now, if you had 40 acres and you're carving off 5 acres for the kids or something, totally different process. So just so you're aware, that's kind of what we're talking about. It's Ivory Homes comes in and wants to build a whole bunch here. Now, I went through a presentation, took me about a half an hour, and after a while, I asked, how often do you guys do subdivisions in your town? And they said, not since I've been here, so maybe I should have started with that. How much subdivision pressure do you get here in Embry for bigger development, 12 houses or more?
Nothing right now.
Yeah, nothing today. So this is a process you got to put in place for a future something coming your way. Like I say, if it's a ag logs lot split and that kind of thing, there's all those exemptions are still there. And it's a much easier process. So I'm just supposed to preach to you what the state wants you to do. I did it with a picture, and I think that's the fastest way to put it. In your handout, there's page 12. Sorry about the font. I tried to keep the comments on there, but it's really tiny. Basically, what you need to know about this process is there's 3.5 steps to subdividing land. And again, remember, this is subdividing land for housing that's, more than 10 units, basically. And I say it's 3.5 steps because that first step is actually an optional step. What it is if a developer wants to come in and just pitch an idea, they would call that a sketch plan or a concept or a pre-application meeting. That's where they just come in literally with the back of the napkin and just say, hey, what do you think if we did this? And those meetings are not, the town, in the new law, the town can't require those to happen any longer. Most towns beg people to go to it, and most developers beg to do it. So just so you know, it's just you can't force the applicant to go through that process. I think you're crazy to not do it. But again, can't force them. The other thing the law says is, and you'll notice that throughout each one of these steps, the law now has a timer on the town. So if I'm the applicant, I come to you with a complete application, and this town says, well, okay, looks like you've turned in everything we asked you to turn in, clock starts, and you have a certain amount of time as a town to respond and give me comments back. It's not a lot of time. In fact, before, the last year bill said you had 15 days, which trying to pull a group like this together, 15 days on a random, this person just turned in an application, is tough. So that's part they fixed, one of the parts they fixed this year, and it's now 30 business days. So technically, yeah, I have a month and a half before you'd have to actually give them comments back. So that's a really big thing to understand. Under the law, though, if I'm the applicant, I can take all the time in the world. Our team seems to not like that very much. So what we did for your code is we said, actually, all the time in the world if it's 180 days or less. So what we're saying is if the town looked at a set of plans and you found a problem with how the streets are laid out or the something, then I, as the applicant, have 180 days to go and fix my thing and bring it back to you. And if I don't, I have to start over. It starts the clock over at the beginning. So the reason why that's a big deal is sometimes a developer come in, get halfway done with their approval, and then you rotate out of planning commissioners, they come back 2 years later and they go, hey, remember, you gotta finish this. And under the new law, you've got all those timers in it, and it's like, well, you guys wouldn't even know what they're talking about, and yet you're supposed to expect, that they've done what you asked them to. So that's why we put the 180 days in there. The second step, the second one in my drawing, which is the first real one, it's got those arrows that go around it. They're calling these review cycles. And a cycle is and this is all in the new law, but basically I, the applicant, give you my application. You look at it, give it back. When the town gives it back to the applicant, that's one review cycle. Under the law, you can only have 4 cycles total. And then at the end of the 4, this is where the law gets really, I think, edgy. At the end of those 4 cycles, the default answer is it's approved. Not that if you can't, as a town, shut it down and say, sorry, you're just not doing this rule we've got for you. If you just ignore it or you don't hold your meeting or whatever, the default is yes, not default no. In everything else the city does, a person can't just walk into the town hall and expect a yes answer. The default is no, right? Until the planning commission or the city council or something says yes, it's not yes, except for subdivisions now. So that's why we're going to work on your application forms and all that stuff so that really by the time you go around with these back and forth with the applicant, four times, it's pretty obvious they're either totally on board and they followed all the city's rules, or they're straight not going to, and you just get to say no. So anyway, that's kind of in the weeds, but basically you can go around the horn four times, but at the end of the four, you got to make a decision. So that's your third bubble you'll see there, is a yes or a no. And if it's no, it's no because of this rule and that rule and this rule. You know, we have to actually say no for a reason. And then the last one is just where folks get out and do, you know, pulling building permits and that kind of stuff. And so again, that's after they've got the approval, they start putting their improvements in, then they come in and start building houses. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell is, well, and I guess a really big deal with Emerytown. The state law says you can't use your city or your town council to be your approval, which they're approving everything else in the town because they're elected. But there's a black and white line in the new state law that says, and city councils can't be the land use authority is the word for it. They're also very blurry as to whether the planning commission can even be involved. So what we created for you folks is a subdivision review committee. And I think that's defined who's on that in page, I want to say one or two, it's really early. Top of page 3A. Your land use authority is a subdivision review committee, which is your mayor or the mayor's representative, your planning commission chair, or somebody on the planning commission, if the planning commission chair asks them to do it, and the town clerk. Three people, they could be on there, and they can delegate to other town staff. So if you want your public works director to be involved, or your contract engineer, or your attorney, or whatever, they can all take part. But that's where the committee is. So it doesn't have public hearings, it doesn't have town council notifications and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that is kind of a weird thing that the state law makes you do. And
where does it spell that out again?
The who's who?
Yeah.
Who's on it?
For that committee. What?
Mm-hmm. Right. Top of page 3.
Top.
3A is who's on it, and then the 1 through 9 is what they're supposed to be doing. Now, if there's an appeal that comes in, like say the subdivision review committee says no and the applicant is just all kinds of bugged by it, they can come and appeal to your city council. That's legal still. Or your planning commission, but I think on yours we put town council, yeah, on that one. That's how most towns do it anyway. But anyway, yeah, some kind of curveballs to throw in at local government, but that's this whole process in a nutshell. There's an element would be part, yes, where is it? Anyway, there's a part in here that talks about all the application elements that need to be on the plat. So if I'm the applicant and I'm coming to you, I can't just forget to show where the streets go and who's the water owner and, you know, things like that. We're going to find that that'll probably change over time as you guys see applications. You might want to ask for more stuff. Most developers were excited when this bill passed until they found out that the first application has to be pretty fleshed out. But anyway, that's it in a nutshell. I should probably just kind of quit yammering on and just let you ask your questions, but the state does kind of put, I don't want to call it handcuffs, but there are definite limits on what local government can do when it comes to housing anymore. So we gave you as much flexibility as we could. We know you didn't do this every day at this scale. I think the limit under state law for a minor subdivision, which would go through its own process, is 10 homes. So if you had an applicant that came in with 9 homes, they wouldn't even have to jump through this hoop. They can go through regular process and so forth. But 11 is, this is your new process. So
do you have a generic form for that, for an application form?
Yeah, what kind of? Under the state contract, we owe you an application packet. So what we got to do is figure out what your policy is going to be. So if you like this direction, we'll just go with this. And then we basically put this in your code book, and then we're going to build you application forms that match it letter by letter. That'll have two sign-offs. One is, I'm the applicant, yeah, I turned this in, or my map has this on it. And one is the town saying, yeah, we recognize you've got that. You know what I mean? So it's two-part thing. Because again, that clock could be your worst enemy. So we're saying, okay, well, the clock doesn't start until you've checked off. And these application forms, they're ridiculous. The one I just approved this morning was 3 pages long. Just because we want everything on the plat. Everything they're thinking of.
So this is from number 8, on page 7, clear to the end of number 11. Is that what has to be on the application?
Yeah, there you go, you found it.
That's what's got to be on the application.
Yeah, so start on, yeah, exactly. Point 8, top of page 7. So their application form is going to have start at top of 7, and you're going down with all those things, and then you keep going through page 8, you keep going through page 9. You see how detailed you're going to want this to be.
10 and 11, huh?
Mm-hmm. Jeez, over to 10. It talks about the size of paper you wanted on it. It talks about a north arrow on the map. It talks about everything. If you all had, some engineering study on your water or the soils or something like that, we've got that covered so that if I'm the applicant, I have to have read that study and shown how my application impacts it. You know, like or transportation network or any of that stuff. So it, in a way, it's developers wanted this, and now that they have it, they're going to be like, geez, because it kind of puts them, it makes them do a lot of homework before they turn it into the town.
They got to be pretty serious for these.
They got to really want it, yeah. And they're going to say, oh, but it's so expensive for me to do that work. And that's where we go back to that first bubble where it's like, okay, we'll come in with a concept idea. It doesn't cost you anything. Just bring it back to the napkin and we'll talk to you. That's fine. And nothing there is binding, so, you know, talk it out and say, oh, somebody else already, you know, if the town could say to a developer, hey, somebody came in last year and tried to do that. It didn't work because of this. That's so valuable to a developer. If they choose to skip it, okay, they're going to invest 3 pages worth of stuff, and then they're going to turn it in and roll the dice that it's correct. So, anyway, it is kind of about property rights, though. It's if I'm the developer, I think the real reason why the law is like this and why it has to apply to all the cities, almost because the legislature is very, you know, omnipotent. But I think the bad actors are kind of like your park cities and your like really wealthy ski resorty kind of towns. Developers have struggled to build in those areas because they say, you know, the town just kind of makes up rules all the time, and our application goes for years. And you know, you're like, that's kind of not okay. So it should be fair to everybody. And so fine, our team's approach is, if you want it to be fair to everybody, write it all down and then make it super transparent of, well, we're going to ask you about this. If they can check the boxes, then the public, that's one of the last thing I'll tell you. Most things towns do is they want to have public hearings or at least public notice that things are going on. The state law says you can, if you want to, have one public hearing. Most towns are telling us to take that out of the code. They don't even want to have it in there because you don't want to tell the public, hey, public, come and, you know, pitchforks and be angry and stuff about this application, because if it's kosher according to your rules, you kind of have to approve it. So why set the expectation that I could be angry and go down to town hall and make a difference when you can't? You're just going to make everybody angry. So that's why a lot of towns just tell me just pull that out, because it's pointless. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry, that's the, believe it or not, that is the short version of this. So.
Okay.
And I can answer any questions. I'll just hang out. Last thing. The state says this has to be done by end of calendar year 2025. And most towns are just, they don't want to do this, but we're reminding them you're supposed to be done by Christmas. So that's why we're thankful we could jump on your agenda. So anyway, thanks for that.
Anybody have any questions?
I've just got one. So I just found the place on page 21. Talks about roads.
Okay.
So it says the CESSD, Escobedo Special Service District. Just cruising through, I'm guessing where you're going with this is you kind of follow the standards that they provided for the county, county roads and improvements. Is that?
That's what we got from the county, because we didn't know if you guys had spent money on your own engineering standards or if you're just using theirs or whatever. They told us that your roads are built to that.
That would make sense.
Yeah, that's what happens for that, I know that.
Yeah. We've got elements in here too that says, I think it better be in here, that says, you know, we want you to, as an applicant, we want the applicant to tell us where the water's coming from and basically prove it's wet water, you know.
Gotcha.
Somebody's gonna come in and put 15 houses in and they don't have the right water, that's not gonna work for anybody, so. That's the kind of thing you'll see in that checklist.
Okay. Anything else you wanna add, Mike?
No, I guess just question is where do we go from here? I guess my understanding is we just need to present this and approve it?
Yeah. Basically, if you were a bigger city and you have tons of staff that have nothing better to do, then you would have your planning commission hold a public hearing, and then they would make a recommendation to town council. And then town council doesn't actually have to hold a hearing. Most of them do, but you don't have to at the town council level. And then it's just adopted. And then when that's adopted, that puts our team on notice to give you a clean version of this without all the comments and stuff. And then build your application forms and get more to you.
So is that next week's meeting?
Yep, that's on the 21st of next week. That's it. So that's what's next. We're ready. Alrighty.
Yeah, my only thought is just making sure that we come up with an application. That's the problem that we have now is...
Mm-hmm. It's pretty generic.
Yeah, it's pretty generic and doesn't have much teeth to tell anyone not to do something.
Yeah.
And on that note, because we're looked at our subdivision, could we do it with just, could they create us an envelope for all applicants?
That's a great point.
Actually, a lot of towns ask for that. Yeah. I just did this for a town that rhymes with Ballard. Sorry, I gotta quit saying the names of these
Mallard.
Towns. Mallard. Town that looks like Mallard, Utah. Anyway, that's what they had us do. And they're Microsoft Word documents, and so we can give you those, and you can just, we don't ask for this, or we ask for more of that. And very easy to fix over time too. So if you update your ordinance, you can easily update your application form and it's quick and clean.
Do you need one of our applications?
Mm-hmm. I'll take whatever you've got for me and then our team will just kind of massage those, put them all in the same kind of format.
You have one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I know I have one too, but.
Do you want that today?
Whenever you want to get it to us.
That would be great because that's really where we're lacking.
It's really bad.
Is it?
Really big, so.
Yeah, the one that rhymes with Ballard, they actually just put their logo on top of Roosevelt's, and Roosevelt is a town about 5 times bigger than them, and they have a sewer, they don't, you know, little details. Yeah, we can help with the application forms. They're kind of important.
So with that being said, in order of business, it's leading the charge.